This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio. Flumer, Esaias, and Greg Giannotti. It's Flumer and Geo on the Fan. Simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are, the free Odyssey app. Yes, Boomer is out again today with the flu. And apparently he did not get any better yesterday, which now this is like a little fun thing that we were having, busting his balls, and maybe it's more serious. He's a guy in his 60s with the flu. So now
they're not great.
It's now I'm worried about him, and I guess I have to stop making fun of the situation. But, yeah, my voice doesn't sound great today. It's not 100%. But this, I think, has everything to do with the little cough that my girls had and nothing to do with the flu that Boomer was trying to give us. Because I feel great. I feel 100%. I just have a little bit of a scratchy throat. So I don't think that that's going to turn into the flu, Jerry. And I'm knocking on wood and plastic and all sorts of stuff. But we've got CeeLo in for you. You're back in for Boomer. It's a feel-good Friday. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Feeling pretty good so far myself. It's Friday. It's a nice holiday weekend. I'll tell you, the feeling driving around yesterday. So I played golf with my son in the afternoon. And driving home, it felt like a Friday. Like, it felt like the weekend. And it hit me. It was Holy Thursday. A lot of people are off today. And, yeah, it had a very vibrant spring-like, everybody's out, maybe we're past the crappy weather finally. It's a good day. Very good day.
Yeah, it was, and it's going to be nice again today. It's going to be almost 80 degrees in New York City on Saturday, in the 70s by me, which is incredible because usually we're like 20 degrees colder than the city. So, yeah, it's great. Holiday weekend, a lot of people having off today. We may have more people watching us on TV than driving around today. But, yeah, it's feeling a lot more like spring, and also, you know, with the spring feel comes the spring sports type of things, like playoff basketball that is happening tomorrow with the Knicks and the Pistons. The draft less than a week away. Get a couple of wins last night with the Mets and Yankees. And you also had Aaron Rodgers pop back on Pat McAfee yesterday, and there was some new stuff in there. So there's no reason to rehash all the things that happened when Aaron Rodgers was a Jet. But there's things about what he said, if you're to believe everything he said, that would give you some concern about the new regime sort of getting their feet wet as a first-time GM and a first-time head coach. So he wants to get into it. He wants to talk about it in this interview as I was listening, driving in. And he said that he thought he was going to fly across country and it was going to be hours of talking. And even if they were going to move on from him, he figured they would pick his brain and it would just be one of these real productive things. And it turned out that he sits in there, and as he's talking with Aaron Glenn in the middle of the conversation, as Aaron Rodgers tells it, Aaron Glenn gets up and darts out of the room. And he's like, well, that's really weird. We're in the middle of a conversation. So then he brings in Darren Mooji, at that point. So he goes out of the room. He brings in Muji. So then they're all three of them are sitting there, and they're talking. And then apparently, according to Aaron Rodgers, Muji's talking. And then Aaron Glenn scoots up to the end of his seat and goes, "So you want to play football?" And then Aaron Rodgers says, "Well, I mean, I'm trying to figure that out. You know, I don't know." And then he goes, "Well, we're going to go in a different direction." And then at that point, Aaron Rodgers is like, "Well, I flew across country on my own dime here for this to happen. And you're just like kind of acting in this way." And then, you know, he also said something along the lines of, he goes, "You know, how do you want this to go down? Like, how do you want the release and the messaging?" And Aaron Rodgers is like, "I don't care about the messaging." And he goes, "Well, what I don't want to happen is have you stand in the back of the room and then I tell the team, you know, we're moving on from you. And then all the teammates are looking back at you and rolling their eyes." And Aaron Rodgers goes, "Well, you think I'm just going to stand back there and undermine you as the head? Like, you don't know me."
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Glenn goes, "Well, you don't know me." And then Aaron Rodgers says, "Exactly. That's why I flew out here to talk to you. And now you're just assuming things about me. And this is weird." So it ended up being like a 15-minute meeting. He hung around the facility for a little bit. He saw some of the training staff. And then he left. And that was that. But probably the most alarming thing that he said was a throwaway line that I don't know if many people, because that was big news there, might have picked up on. He goes, "I feel like the coach," meaning Aaron Glenn, "went a little rogue in this meeting because mm-hmm. I had since had conversations with the general manager."
And Christopher Johnson.
So that to me is like, are you guys serious? You weren't on the same page there
mm-hmm.
to the point where Aaron Glenn is now going rogue in this meeting, to the point where now Muji's reaching out after the fact going, "Hey, man, I'm sorry." Now, I don't know if Muji is lying to Aaron Rodgers and doing a good cop, bad cop thing. But Christopher Johnson, clearly he hates Woody, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, some of the things he was saying, never mentioned his name. He goes, "I shouldn't be surprised with some of the stuff that I saw there in the 2 years and all these things with Woody." But Christopher Johnson's a really, really nice guy, so he's always going to have a good relationship with the players. But, like, I don't always believe everything Aaron Rodgers says, and sometimes he could be a bit insufferable. But I believe everything he said yesterday, and I could not believe that they would handle it like that.
Well, so first off, I don't know that had I not seen Aaron Glenn with the media on the handful of occasions that we have since he's gotten this job, I don't know that I would have believed this. I would have thought that this was some Aaron Rodgers bull crap and maybe, you know, highlighting or going a little too far and exaggerating a bit. But having seen the way Aaron Glenn dealt with Rich Cimini and the Jet reporters and shutting down the quarterback talk, and it's my way or the highway type of attitude, which, by the way, if you win is fine. But boy, oh boy, if you don't win, the fans are going to get sick of that attitude very quickly.
Well, the players, too.
The players, too. So this is how I look at everything. We have sat there, and I'd be the first one who sat there and killed Aaron Rodgers for the distractions he caused when he talked about not being having a team full of distractions. But I really feel like he was a big part of that. Okay, fine. We'll put that to the side. When I look at this in particular, and I watched it, and I saw the body of that, by the way, clean shaven. He looks like he's 10 years younger.
Yeah, and really happy out there in Malibu looking at the Dolphins. Yeah.
But everything he described, having seen Glenn with the media and the attitude he has, it made sense. I could actually envision the entire thing exactly the way Aaron Rodgers laid it out for us. And I don't think he was exaggerating at all. That sounds like the personality of Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, he needs to chill out a little bit. He's coming in here with too much of a chip on his shoulder and too much of the no. Like, I like the attitude of things have to change around here, and I have to have a stern personality and be the man. And those are the things we were asking for in a head coach, but someone with just experience. Like, you know, you have to have the alpha, you have to have that guy. But he's taking it too far. He's fighting with everybody. He's going into this thing assuming things about everybody, which I really don't like. You know, it's almost as if he was given this briefing by Woody Johnson or someone else in the organization, like, watch out for this guy. This guy's a jerk. This here is opposed to coming in and forming his own opinions on the situation.
Maybe.
And he's just coming in and just fighting everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe. I'm envisioning this now, like a year from now, him saying, "You know, I came in here with a little bit too much of a chip on my shoulder, and I learned in the first year that, you know, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, and I need to chill out." And then, by the way, he also, Aaron Rodgers, talked glowingly about Brian Daboll.
Yeah, he did.
How much he loved Brian
Daboll.
A
beautiful football mind.
A beautiful football mind, exactly.
Yeah.
Really loves the guy. And he was awesome, and he really loved those conversations and all of that stuff. So, I mean, it's telling to me, and these are the things that I was worried about when you're hiring all these first-time guys, again, with the Jets, is just, like, how are they going to figure all this out on the fly?
The other thing you pointed out, which also goes to Rodgers' credit on his way out the door, has been the reaction, was the reaction from the current players on the roster. Now, they brought in Justin Fields. That's fine. They're not going with a rookie who's done nothing. I mean, he was 4-2 last year. He was drafted very highly out of Ohio State, so it's not like they brought in a nobody. So I want to be clear about that. But, you know, when they let him go, you saw the tweets, and some were taken down. But I forget who it was, but there were a couple like, here we go, rebuilding again. Like it seems to me that the players inside that, there's been a narrative by some that Aaron Rodgers is a team killer and he's an arrogant, selfish SOB. But then when you hear and talk to the players, it doesn't sound like that at all. It seems like there are two different narratives and stories, and you don't know which one's real. But I will tell you, the more I see of him and the more I have read and seen from his former teammates, the document, all this different stuff, I sometimes think, you know, maybe it's the Jets. Maybe it's been the Jets. The injury sucked. There's nothing we can do about year one. I can't. No, if I go back, I was actually thinking of this driving in because I saw the headlines before I watched the McAfee thing this morning. I was trying to think back to 2 years ago when the Rodgers to the Jets thing was a thing. And then when Rodgers to the Jets thing became a thing and became official, and the way he was received at Madison Square Garden and anywhere he went, and the idea that the Jets had a guy, there was nobody. I mean, you find me the group of people that thought it was a bad idea. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Not because he came here and completely sucked, but because, you know, the same way Vinny Testaverde's Achilles ruptured on the first quarter of the first game of the season. Crap happens, and it's a shame it didn't work out. But I'd love to know and be a fly in the room and know exactly how everybody feels about this guy.
Yeah, and I think that probably all of it is true. Like, I probably think that Garrett Wilson never got along on the same page as Aaron Rodgers, and him bringing in Devontae Adams pissed him off. I think that Mike Williams really didn't like the fact that he got publicly roasted about the red line and he's not where he's supposed to be, and he probably could have handled that different. I also think that there's guys like Quinnen Williams and some of the guys on the defense that really appreciated him, and young guys that took his advice. And, you know, when Mekhi Becton was here the first year, you know, prior to going to Philadelphia, they had a relationship and some of those. I think all of it's true, because I just think that you can be different versions of yourself.
Yep.
You know, and it depends on what experience you have. No one has the same consensus on any particular person. So I think all of it's true. But I just, the fact that the Jets made him fly out and handled the meeting that way is, and he said that, you know, I just felt it lacked respect. I mean, which it did. I mean, if that's the truth, that's disrespectful and it's unprofessional. And hopefully it's not a sign of things to come. But now, and by the way, as we talk about the players and how they feel about them, the players who liked Aaron Rodgers are now going to watch that.
Oh, for sure.
And they're the ones that didn't want Aaron Rodgers to go are now going to have this on top of that, and are going to go into this season with even more of a bad taste in their mouth about the head coach.
Very possibly. Yeah, very possibly. There's no doubt. The one, maybe throwaway, but I thought it was funny when he was talking about the length of the meeting. And he goes, I was kind of embarrassed because I told my pilots,
yeah,
go spend the day, get some dinner. He goes, and I look at my watch, I was done in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Hey, guys, we got to go back.
Right. Well, no, he ended up staying. He went back to his house, but yeah.
I know he did. But ultimately, at first, he thought he was going to walk right back to the plane after he told him to go have a day.
Yeah. No, and he said he was really excited about it and thought it would be a good meeting. And he also said, you know, and I've been critical. I didn't want the Jets to bring Rodgers back because I think he's too old. And he was going to get hurt again, and it just needed to end at that point. It needed to be a clean break. But the way they handled it, I think, was poor. But you know, he is now. By the way, he talked a lot about the personal life stuff and what's going on and why he hasn't made a decision. Yep. And all of these things. But I just at this point, it feels to me that he's going to walk away from the game.
Maybe.
And if this Jet thing had gone a little bit better than it did, he might have had more of an itch to play, but the fact that it was a nightmare and he is now out there dealing with personal stuff, it almost feels like the world is telling him, let's not go do this.
Perhaps,
again.
But then why go do the whole thing with DK Metcalf? You know, why?
Because
go...
he's given it, he's probably, you know, he's investigating all of it. You know, I don't think that he's made up his mind. I think that he's investigating all of it.
See, I think, yes, but I still think we're sitting here 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that he's any closer to a decision today than he was yesterday. I mean, just watching that, I mean, there were times I'm watching that and I saw a guy who had determination still on his face that wanted to come back and not have it end this way. And then at other times when listening to him and hearing him about, he keeps saying the inner circle, he referenced his sister a bunch of times throughout the course of the interview. There's a guy that has other interests and has other things that he has to deal with. And maybe it is time. So I walked away from the 45-minute interview thinking that he still himself is not quite sure what he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, and the Giants thing, I guess, was a legitimate conversation, but of course that's not going to work out with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston here. I guess there have been conversations. He said he's very close with Kevin O'Connell out in Minnesota, but they talk all the time.
Right.
So he really didn't give any insight into that. He loved Mike Tomlin. He said he came in, flew into some different airport than Pittsburgh International, rented a Chevy Malibu, and tried to go into Pittsburgh with no one knowing about it.
And that was another interesting thing, too, because I think when you're watching that, you could be like, oh, here he goes. He's trying to make it seem like it wasn't a big deal. And yet they dig up the photos of him actually in the Chevy Malibu with the hood up and the sunglasses, trying to do it as quietly as possible. And I sit there and say, maybe what this guy's been saying has been, maybe he stretches the truth a little bit sometimes for sure. And maybe he's out there on some things, but maybe a lot of what he has been saying has been true.
Yeah, and I at least believed him with this particular thing, because there's a lot of times where, you know, he people say, oh, he wants attention, he's this, he's doing that, he's holding everybody hostage. I mean, he explained that, like, you know, I haven't talked to anybody in a really long time.
Right. He said 3 months.
Like, and I was sneaking in and out of Pittsburgh in a rental Chevy Malibu. I'm not trying to put any more attention on myself. It's just that, you know, he gets covered in a certain way. So I've had my issues with Rodgers. I really didn't think that they should have brought him back, but it was eye opening. I mean, it's how you treat guys like that kind of shows you, you know, what type of person you are too.
We know it's a cutthroat business. There is no question about it. It is a cold business, and you got to make decisions that are going to be in the benefit or the best. It's for the best of the organization. I get all that. But again, I will come back to listening and watching Aaron Glenn when he got here and how abrasive he was right from the start. Everything that he described yesterday, I can see it vividly. It went down exactly the way he said.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like one of those things where, like, if you're meeting somebody for the first time and then someone told you things about the person that you're meeting that you're on guard for, and then you're just like coming out firing. You never even know the person, never met the person, never formed your own opinion.
I made up your mind already.
I mean, but he's doing that with everybody.
Well, and that's what I mean. That's why there's a little bit of a track record. Had we not heard from Aaron Glenn, or even if you, let's say he had his introductory press conference, which was fine, but then it was when he broke off with the reporters. I forget who, it might have been Rich, it might have been someone else, when they asked about the quarterback situation, and he shot it down. We addressed that already. It's like, dude, you just got the job.
Yeah.
Like, relax. Everything's good. This is when it's supposed to be fun. You're going to have plenty of media sessions where it's going to be a back and forth that you're not going to be interested in. That wasn't one of them. And I think if he was, you know, I don't want to say friendly, but if he was more, you know, just kind of taking it as it comes in stride, we're all good and answering the questions, I don't know that I would have believed that yesterday. But we've seen it. We've seen the abrasiveness and the personality, and it seemed to me it described it probably to a T.
Yeah. I remember that press conference he had. He's like, you know, I'm done talking about the quarterback. That's a disrespect to the other players on this roster. You know, all these guys and Quinnen Williams and this and that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm.
I remember you guys got on him for it at the time.
What?
I remember. Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
I agree.
This is it, man. This is part of the job.
And like I said, that's fine, but you better win. Because if you don't win and you act this way, the media is going to tear every decision you make to shreds. And you are not going to have any, you're going to have enemies, not friends, on the other side.
Like, that would be the equivalent of someone meeting me out and asking a question that I always get. Like, hey, yeah, what's Boomer really like off the air? And me go, you know, this is disrespect to Al, to Eddie, to Jerry.
and all the other people that are out there, the Pat Boyles of the world. You just ask me about this guy. I mean, you know, yeah. It takes everybody to win and be good.
Yeah.
Like, well, you expect these questions.
Bizarre.
Deal with it,
it really was bizarre.
Yeah.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. So you got a headline yesterday, CeeLo, on awful announcing, huh? I saw this on Al's show sheet. I should have looked at the article before you got in here, but I just remembered it.
I looked at the article.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it myself.
You haven't seen it yourself?
I haven't seen it. Al made me aware of it during the warm-up show, but I didn't actually read it. So
we had two fan articles yesterday.
There
Sal,
we go.
Angry at Juan Soto and update anchor has hiccups for 3 days.
Yeah. WFAN making news. Let's see. WFAN anchor battling 3 days of hiccups. Quote, take two fingers, stick it down your throat in reverse motion.
Reverse it.
Yeah, reverse motion.
I had a guy last night at Dowling's in Rosedale Park tell me to stick some fingers somewhere else and that might help with the hiccups.
By the way, are they done with?
Didn't go that route.
When was the last time you hiccuped? Last night?
It's less a hiccup now and more, thank you, Eddie, by the way. It's more of like just a, like an indigestion type acid reflux thing.
The upchuck like Keith Hernandez had the other night.
I haven't upchucked anything. It's just like I just feel it. There's something. Something got aggravated there. Mm. I think it's a food related thing. So I've been trying to stick to the more bland, non acidic stuff.
Interesting.
So we'll all see right. if we can get. There was yesterday. I got halfway through the warm up show fine. Then all of a sudden had an attack. We didn't have any issues this morning on the warm up show. So we'll see how the day goes here.
All right. But
so far so good.
But your last real hiccup was.
I feel like I had one or two this morning before the warm up show.
All right.
And I did the bitters with lemon, literally right. shot of JMO last night, which seemed to help. But I'll say it this way: they're coming a little further and further apart now.
It's like the opposite of pregnancy contractions.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly
closing
right.
Closing there, widening.
So hopefully that'll continue. You know, we'll see. We'll
all
see.
Right. Very
we
good.
Got the rest of the show to get through, obviously.
Yeah. So let's hear what's going on in sports.
All right. Brought to you by the New York Auto Show. Visit autoshowny.com. And yeah, I guess we'll start with Aaron Rodgers again, as he did a solid 45 minutes on the McAfee show yesterday. First, we've heard from him since he met with the new Jets regime of Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji. Flew cross country on his own dime, as he said. And it didn't take long for Glenn to make his feelings known after he apparently had run out of the room to bring Mooji in for what became a three-person meeting.
I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country. And 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback.
The little bit we've heard from Aaron Glenn so far, you can kind of picture that exchange, that interaction.
That's what I was saying. Like, you can really, in your mind, you can see it exactly the way he described it.
Yeah, let's just get right to the point here. With that out of the way, Rodgers says they got to the point of what I guess the Jets really wanted to talk to him about, which was this.
And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a about the message.
Yeah, so I guess it got to that.
I am confused by that, because then he talked about, when they were talking about the messaging, according to Rodgers, he then said, Glenn said he didn't want to be up at the podium talking, and you're in the background. Oh, you're going to play now?
Well,
I don't understand. Like, on one hand, he's talking about the messaging of being released or not re-signed, but then it quickly turned into the messaging when he's trying to give instructions, and he's worried about Rodgers saying something opposite him.
Yeah.
If he was released, what, like, that one didn't make sense to me.
You watched the whole thing.
I did.
My read on it, listening to the clip, was that I guess they got into the decision on the team wanting to move on, and Rodgers was wondering if that's inaccurate.
Well, because he did.
He asks why. Here's how that went.
And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at you.
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Right. Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying?
So it seemed like Glenn giving one of the reasons for why they were going to not gonna go in a different direction.
Meaning the messaging of why they wanted to go in another direction was because you're going to one-up me.
Yes.
It seems like two type A guys, and you got a new head coach who's trying to, you know, turn things around, put his stamp on it, and build a new culture. And he doesn't want to do it with a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
When he was mentioning, when he said the messaging, I thought what he meant was, do you want to say that you didn't want to return, or we were moving in a different direction? And then they went into that whole thing.
Yeah.
So I was a little confused by that. But
maybe it was so Glenn is explaining his side of it, or why he doesn't want him back. But then they're, I guess, in their eyes, giving Rodgers the platform to spin it however he wanted, but now that he's given us the play-by-play of the meeting,
we
it's kind of
know.
Irrelevant.
Exactly.
You know? So, I will play you some more throughout the course of the morning.
There really is. When someone makes an assumption about you and has no idea who you are, that's one of the more frustrating things of all time. Like, honestly, like if someone comes up to you, they oh, I thought that you were a total jerk. So, like,
I live it every day, G.
You never talk to me.
Wow.
Ever.
You're really not an angry person.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, no, I'm not.
So I can understand him being pissed about that. Like you don't know a thing about me, and you're already assuming what I'm going to be doing if I'm on this team. I mean, I've been sitting in here. I just met you. I've been sitting in here for 5 minutes.
It felt like even before this meeting went down, just when we heard Aaron Glenn's initial answers when asked about Rodgers that he had already made up his mind.
Yeah, it was absolutely. It was over and done with. Yeah.
I think Woody Johnson probably told him it was over and done with.
And speaking, because Rodgers made a thing about making me fly cross country. He could have just talked to me over the phone. And I shared this with Al. I don't know if you care about this. Someone pulled up the Rodgers tweet from 2013. Because yesterday he talked
2013.
About... 2013? Okay, well, yesterday he talked about feeling disrespected by, hey, you brought me all the way here, and it's a short meeting, so on and so forth. So someone went digging and found from April of 2013 an Aaron Rodgers tweet that said, meeting in person, greater than sign, phone call, always.
Yeah, okay. People change. You in 2012 is not the same person as
That's
you in 2025.
Fair. That's fair.
And you have different opinions. I work with a guy every day, Al Dukes, who is a completely polar opposite person from the time I met him. As we had this conversation yesterday on the podcast.
Yeah.
He is not the same person with the same beliefs of anything from 10 years ago.
True.
Admittedly, I'm not speaking out of turn. Am I? This is right?
Well, I'm not sure all of my beliefs have changed completely.
You know what I mean.
Some of them.
I did get him to admit, because I sensed we were going to go and that he was on Aaron Rodgers' side, and not that I'm on the Jets side. I just felt like, here we go with Rodgers.
I would
spins it a certain way. So
I used to be fanciful and carefree. Now I'm
an ass face.
Fanciful. Wow. I did get him to admit. I was like, if the Jets called him instead of bringing Rodgers in, that he could have easily said, like, oh, no, they couldn't even have the respect to me.
It's possible.
And he did. He was like, yeah, I could see.
I could see that too. Sure.
Listen, the thing we're missing here is, he thought flying across the country for that interaction wasn't worth it.
Yes.
He thought that there was a chance they were going to tell him they were going to move on, but there would be hours meetings and they'd talk to each other and he'd pick his brain about what's going on with the organization.
Sure.
He said if this is the way that it was going to go, this could have been a phone
call.
That
is true. Yes. Yeah. That nice and tight.
Because
and
even
the last game of the season,
he was very, he was very clear on this might be it. Like, I get it. They might go in a different direction. I understand.
Yeah. All right, we'll get you some more of those clips throughout the course of the morning. Let's head down to Tampa now. First game for the Yankees as the visiting team at George M. Steinbrenner Field.
Here comes the 1-1, Big Ben. And the pitch. Swing on line drive, left center field, that'll get down. Two runs are going to score. Dominguez with Cabrera right behind him. A 4-for-4 night for Ben Rice in the Yankee lead. Grows to 6-3 here at Tampa.
Dave Sims here on the Fan.
Hey,
capped the scoring in the sixth as the Yanks came from behind to double up the Rays in the series opener 6-3. Rice would finish 4-for-5 with a double and those two RBIs you heard there. Also multi-hit games for Paul Goldschmidt and Oswaldo Cabrera.
You watched the game, right?
Parts of it.
Right.
I was at the bar.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
that's right. How'd that go?
It was great.
Awesome.
They did a really nice job. The co-owners are big fans of the station and the show, so they were happy to have us in. We did a little 50-50. They donated a portion of the proceeds.
That's a good idea.
So, yeah, it was everything went well, and I give Pat Boyle a lot of credit. It was his connection, so we enjoyed ourselves.
We should do a 50-50.
Dowlings and Roselle Park.
Idea.
Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, it was great simple. I mean, we just had the tickets and went around with the bucket, and, you know, we started at 7. We called the 50-50 around 8:30, just so people didn't feel they had to stay the whole time.
Nice.
We got like, about $250 just out of the 50-50.
Very cool.
Which was solid. So
very
it was a good
night.
Very good,
CeeLo.
Yes.
All right, so my point was you saw a lot of the game.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this would have changed the game, but the play where Judge throws the guy out at third, what is he doing? He stumbles around second.
Yeah.
I think Judge had the ball before he got to second
base. No, he did. No,
the hell?
I actually stopped this morning on the highlight. You know, because you could see where he was when the ball got in Judge's glove and he wasn't at second base yet. And I'm thinking, like,
who thinks that's a good play?
And it's not like he's got a noodle arm out there. The guy is known for having a hose.
We've talked about how it looks like he's...
yes, that is true.
Maybe in more ways than one. We've talked about how when he throws, it almost looks like he's restraining himself a little bit just to keep it under control. Like, he's got to dial it back a bit, Judge.
What a stupid decision and a great throw.
Yes. Yes, it was. I mentioned Oswaldo Cabrera had a multi-hit game, also his first home run of the season, and Aaron Judge did drive in another run in this game. Jazz Chisholm, not so much. 0-for-3. He's now in a 5-for-52 slide and got himself ejected from this one for arguing a bad strike 3 call in the seventh. And then 6 minutes later, as he found his way back into the clubhouse, posted on X, not even effing close. And that post then was quickly deleted. So I saw Yes put up a 4-minute clip of his post game where no one asked him about the tweet. But I guess earlier before the cameras were rolling, or at least what they put out there, they did ask him about it. And apparently the league's looking into the matter. And he said, I don't care. I did what I did. I can live up to my responsibilities. It doesn't matter to me. And the part that was on camera with audio, he also added this.
Every at bat, we want to win every pitch. So when you work that hard and it doesn't go your way and you really think it's a ball, you get fired up, you know? And I'm very passionate about my game.
And there's some frustration has to be. He's batting 169 now. Cody Bellinger, 186, though he did have a hit and an RBI in this game. Yeoman's work by the Yankee bullpen after Will Warren only got 5 outs. Combination of Ryan Yarbrough, Tim Hill, Ian Hamilton, and Devin Williams took it the rest of the way. I've got an Aaron Boone for you because it's non-generic and kind of has nothing to do with what went on the field. So he was asked for his review on the visiting dugout in a ballpark they obviously know pretty well.
I don't like my view from the dugout, my spot. Kind of sucks, actually. But, I mean, it was a great environment. I mean, obviously a ton of Yankee fans, so it felt, you know, noisy.
It's interesting that I know they made changes once spring training ended, but, like, even the like the color schemes for teams that both have like a navy blue and dark, it just looks different on TV than in the spring training games.
I agree. I think they did a good job by making it look like the Rays home.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you looked in the crowd, it looked heavy Yankees, for sure.
I didn't realize this. I happened to be, when I was driving up to the bar, I had the pregame show on, and Susan was doing her leadoff spot with Boone. The Rays brought in like their own field. I don't know if they talked about that on the broadcast at all last night. Like, I guess they swapped out the infield or the turf or something, which I...
Why would they do that?
I guess something that they're more comfortable with or their people feels better or maybe would hold up better because it's going to get a little bit more usage than normal. I don't know exactly, but that kind of caught my attention, which was interesting. Anyway, tonight, Carlos Rodon opposed by Drew Rasmussen with coverage at 6:25 here on The Fan. The Mets are back at Citi Field. They opened up a 4-game set with the Cardinals and a good start for one of their struggling sluggers.
And the 1-0 lifted in the air to right field, pretty deep towards the corner. Walker back in front of the wall. It might go, and it is a home run! Mark Vientos right down the line with his first home run of the year, and the Mets are leading by a score of 1-0.
There's our guy, Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hey, Howie.
Like, we talk about play-by-play a lot on this show and how much we love these guys, but they, like, that's not an easy call to make sound so perfect.
Smooth.
Just the way that where that ball was and how it hit the foul pole and how you judge the distance of it. It's just... I mean, he's so freaking good.
No hesitation and not even having to guess about what's going on or pause or collect his thoughts. So tremendous job
by
him.
Did you like our afternoon guys getting highlighted on the TV, on the telecast?
Yeah, you know, I saw a lot of the images.
I actually missed that part of it too, which sucks because I got a bunch of texts about it and I had to... I didn't end up seeing it.
If you don't have it, I did put it in the system.
The audio? Yeah. Okay, great. So Lou Gower in our group chat last night was, I sent one of him a freeze frame because I thought he looked kind of silly, but he sent this one of Evan.
No, with scoring the game? Oh, yeah. I saw. He's there with his book.
And Lou Gower said he looks like an 8-year-old waiting for his dad to come back with ice cream.
Well, that was Tiki, who moments later showed up with the food.
Right.
True.
Oh,
it was
boy.
Very funny.
Kind of funny. Anyway, the Mets do all their scoring in the second inning. They built a 4-0 lead. They went on to beat the Cards 4-1. Griffin Canning over that illness. Pitched well, 6 innings, a 3-hit ball, just the 1 run, 8 strikeouts across 102 pitches. Here he is on his ordeal with coming back, starting well, and getting over that sickness over the last couple of days.
I felt pretty good, yeah. Bounced back good enough, and yeah, got hydrated and got everything right and ready to go tonight.
How sick were you?
I didn't feel very good, so... obviously not good enough to throw on Wednesday, which sucks.
So kind of the opposite.
Yeah, you know, the bullpen catcher came in with the flu the other day. You know, he started coughing in front of me, and I knew I was done for, but I was able to bounce back pretty quick.
You know, he did the right thing on the front end and then benefited on the back end. Boomer kind of did it the opposite way.
Exactly.
So, quickly, before I go, and this is just sort of the final 30 seconds or so from the Garden last night. We'll have more on Sam Rosen's final broadcast on MSG as the Rangers wrapped up their season and did so at least with a decisive win in Sam's honor, wrapping up 40 years.
Final game of this glorious
broadcasting career. It's a shutout for Igor Shesterkin and the New York Rangers. Sixth shutout of the season for Igor, his 21st career shutout. Second against the Lightning, and a great way to go out. A 4-0 Rangers win. Joe,
nice job.
Thank you.
Great
thank
call.
You for everything.
Thank you for everything.
What a great night.
And they had made him the first star of the game, which
it
was
is
awesome.
Amazing. It's 4-0 is the answer.
Right.
40th
season. Yeah.
Come on.
And you had, you know, the old guard. Mika had a couple of goals. Kreider and what might have been his final. I didn't notice this because, again, I was at the bar, didn't see it. He scores, and I think it was Will Cooley went and got the puck. So if that tells you, I mean, the players are aware that that very well could be it for him if he gets traded this offseason.
Team will look
so
different next year.
Yes, they win
4-0. I thought they were getting it for Sam.
The Kreider puck? No, I don't think so. Mika gave him his stick from his 5-goal game back in, I think it was 2019, though.
Oh,
that was
nice.
A parting gift. And they wore the Sam Rosen 40 jersey for warm-ups. They had that power play goal patch on. So disappointing season, but at least it ended on a high note for Sam.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. Boomer out again, not feeling well. Hopefully he's back on Monday, fully recovered. We are assuming that it is the flu. I don't know if he got tested. He was getting Tamiflu and the whole thing, but it sucks. So we do feel for him. He had a birthday yesterday where he's just laying in bed feeling like crap. But I guess it's a good thing because he's got his huge event
coming up at the end of April and then the bike tour shortly after that he got this sickness out. Now, you can look at it like that, because if he got hit with this, you know, before the booming celebration, or hit with this before the bike tour, that would suck more than getting hit with this on his birthday. So we're thinking of you, Booms. Mm. We're thinking of you.
I sent him a happy birthday text yesterday.
I did not. I said it on the air several times. I figured that was enough. Did you guys send a birthday text to Boomer yesterday?
I did, yeah.
You did?
No shot in hell.
I comboed it up with the how you feel it.
Me too.
And, Phil Simms is now coming in Monday. Kind of wanted to give him the out if he needed out another day.
Okay. Interesting. What did he send back to you?
Not, still not feeling great.
Okay.
Not sure about tomorrow yet.
All right. All right. Not one of those things like, you know, I'm death's door right now.
No, but I mean, it didn't sound great from what we heard.
No,
so
it
hopefully
didn't.
He's feeling better this morning.
Yeah, how did Dave Marinick get the information before us yesterday? He was the one that informed
I don't
us
know.
What was going on.
Great question. No,
I was like, I didn't even think that Boomer even knew who Dave was. No, somehow Dave got the information?
Of course he knows who Dave is.
I don't think he does. He does. I don't think he could pronounce his last name.
That I would agree with 100%. But he knows he's David.
Did you see that Kadarius Toney has finally stepped away from the NFL?
No.
Yeah, so he announced his retirement.
Retirement from what?
The NFL.
From 3 years of nothing?
From the NFL, and he is focusing on his rap career.
Music, okay.
And he would like to be referred to in the future only as Young Joker.
Okay. I mean, if he's going to try and make a career out of this music thing, I think that's probably a smart choice.
Yeah, I would have told you that he was completely nuts to think he would have success with it until I saw LiAngelo Ball have a hit song.
Yeah. Well, who was the... Was Kadarius Toney the business booming, or was that...
No, it's Antonio
that's
Brown.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The song that I liked of Kadarius Toney's was Codeine Dream.
Okay.
That one. Yeah.
Codeine Dream.
Yep. Codeine Dream.
Was that a hit? Is that something that had legs, or...
No. No, not at all. I just sort of like the... I like the name of it.
Mm.
Let's see. Young Joker Songs. Let's see if there's other ones. Yes. Yeah, Some to Prove.
Now, what are you on? Are you on Spotify?
Play With Me. No, I just Googled his songs. Play With Me, Kept It Real, International Player, King of the Slums.
Can you see on Spotify how many plays a song has? Or is that just YouTube? I know YouTube, you can see all the views, obviously.
Yeah, you can see on Spotify as well.
So does he have anything that you would say rates it's, high? So
but it's YUNGJOKA.
So A Sum to Prove, Jerry, is his most listened to with 249,000 listens. Everything after that is 67,000 or less.
Some to Prove.
I'm budding
Some
career.
To Prove.
What, so Codeine Dream didn't make it up there?
No. Oh, right. Actually, that only got 63,000 views or
it's
listens.
Never picked up the steam I thought it would.
Maybe maybe now with this big announcement, his fans can take to Spotify and he can move up the charts.
Yeah. I mean, does it make you feel bad that Young Joker's worst songs have 63,000 streams
Shut
and you
up,
guys
G.
are not
Shut
making
up,
it past 1,000 on YouTube?
No, because I don't know how many views his videos have. Maybe his videos only have 700 views.
That's true. You're right about that. You know, by the way, Eddie is that like that's his new thing now. Anytime we talk about numbers, he's always in my ear. You know, I'll be like, there was five guys outside. That's more than watch the YouTube, Adam Jerry.
So, that's true.
And we got
I can't argue with you.
So we'll have 10 people coming over for Easter. That's more than pay. Right in the ear. It's more than they saw that won the last one on Thursday.
So, again, what's right is right, and what's true is true. I can't argue you. It's been disappointing, to say the least.
I mean, that is one of the...
Oh, man.
That is one of the worst draft picks ever. I mean, and he actually showed some potential early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like he looked talented. He looked fast. He looked like he jumped off the screen. But the fact that the Eagles traded with the Cowboys to go and get DeVonta Smith, who the Giants wanted desperately, and then the Giants passed on Micah Parsons to then draft Kadarius Toney.
Right.
Is as bad as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we've talked so many times about. You don't know what you're getting. Yeah, everybody that is in the draft pool, or at least most of these kids, they are all talented. They are all in peak physical shape. They've done great things in college. And I think the combine is a complete waste of time, other than the thing that I think gets mocked at most, and those are the face-to-face meetings. Now, I think some of the questions, as we've seen over the years, have been a little bizarre and not fair to the players, obviously. But I do think getting to try and get a read on the personality, the mind, you know, how they see the game, feel about the game, the outside noise, to me, not to bring it back to Shedeur Sanders, because if I think about him one more time, I'm going to throw up, but until we get to next Thursday. But like that, to me, is what makes the player. And he clearly had the talent, couldn't do it here. For whatever, it wasn't because he couldn't catch the ball, it's because he couldn't do it here.
Yeah, he also caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl, which just shows you, and then they ended up getting rid of him in Kansas City. But it really does show you that the organization means so much. The fact that the Chiefs got anything out of Kadarius Toney, they ended up cutting him. The fact that he caught a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, for God's sakes, just shows you that, you know, it's different organizations, man.
Right, and you bring up a great point, too, because maybe someone that is equipped emotionally, mentally, and physically to do it gets put in a terrible situation with a terrible regime. So there's a lot to it, but I really do believe one of the most important traits of someone you're going to draft is, can they handle it? What's between the ears? Can they process the game? Do they understand the playbook? Like, all of that is as important to me, if not more important, than what their physical traits are.